to the School of the Saltire Christmas and St Andrew's Day special.
First, we have the P7 Assembly Saltire Service.
Welcome. We are here today to celebrate St Andrew's Day, which falls on November 30th. It's a very special day for us here in Scotland, and especially for us at Addlestone Ford, because of the incredible history connected to our very own village. Today, we remember the story of St Andrew and the origins of the flag we have just raised.
Andrew was a friend of John the Baptist, who told him about Jesus. One day, Andrew and his brother, Simon Peter, were fishing by Lake Galilee, when Jesus appears and called to them, "Come follow me and I will make you fish for people." Andrew immediately lay down his net and followed Jesus. Andrew became one of Jesus' disciples.
Andrew saw Jesus carry out many miracles. He was the first person who spoke to the boy with the loaves and fish during the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And he was the one who took the boy to Jesus. Andrew was very sad when Jesus died. He travelled to Poland, Russia and Greece, teaching people about who Jesus was and about the amazing things he had done.
Some people did not like Andrew talking about Jesus, and he was killed because of this. Andrew chose to die on an X-shaped cross, as he did not think he was worthy to be crucified on a vertical cross, the same shape as Jesus had died on.
Many years after Andrew had died, a monk named Regulus was watching over Andrew's bones. An angel is thought to have appeared to Regulus in a dream and told him to take the relic's bones to the far west. The journey was long and dangerous, and Regulus was shipwrecked on the east coast of Scotland in a place where the town of St Andrew now stands. He buried St Andrew's bones and built a church on top.
Over the centuries, St Andrew became important to the Scottish people. This is why the X shape of his cross or saltire is part of the Scottish flag. St Andrew became the patron saint of Scotland over 1,000 years ago. The Saltire is believed to be one of the oldest flags in Europe, but the reason it became our national symbol is directly linked to a legend and a battle fought right here.
The Battle of Addlestone Ford in AD 832 was a time of great peril. King Angus, believing the battle to be lost, led his army in a prayer. It is said that a white cross cloud shape was seen against the blue sky. It resembled the cross on which St. Andrew's had been crucified. King Angus promised that if they won the battle, St. Andrew would become the patron saint of Scotland. They won the battle.
Let's think for a moment about the colours of the saltire, the white cross and the blue background. The white cross is clear. It represents the cross of St. Andrew. The blue is traditionally known as the sky or azure, and it represents the wide, vast Scottish sky itself, the very sky where King Angus saw the miraculous cross shape.
St Andrew's Day is a fantastic opportunity to celebrate everything it means to be Scottish. While we remember the history and the patron saint, we also celebrate the kindness, hospitality and energy of our country. How do people celebrate today?
Many communities hold traditional Scottish gatherings, like a ceilidh, where people dance to traditional music. You might see people wearing tartan, and of course, many people, Scottish people, will be tucking it into traditional food like haggis, neeps and tatties.
But most importantly, St Andrew's Day is a national day of friendship and community. St Andrew's was the kind of person who brought people to Jesus and brought the boy with the food to him. He was a connector.
The flag has been used in Scotland ever since, and we are so lucky to be a part of the celebration to raise the saltire above our school and in our village every single year. St Andrew's Day is celebrated on the 30th of November each year.
From the field to the town, from the town.
amazing, guys. Now on to the Saltire Memorial 60th anniversary and an interview with the First Minister.
Hi, I'm Martha.
And I'm Alice.
And we are here on St. Andrew's Day in the Athelstan Ford Church. And we're here to interview John Swinney, the First Minister of Scotland.
Why do you think that St. Andrew's Day is so important?
I think every day there should be a celebration in a country of their national day, a day to remember who we are and what we're about. And Andrew's Day is an important occasion for us to gather together. Remember that Scotland is a welcoming country, an inclusive country that brings people together. And it's what St. Andrew represents. It's what he represented in the Bible. And that's what St. Andrew's Day represents.
Is this your first time at Athelstan Ford?
It's not. No, I came here a few years ago with my family, and we saw the monument outside, we went to the Duke, and we saw the exhibition. We'd been down here on a family trip, and I wanted to come here because for a long number of years, I've given a little bit of money to the Scottish Flag Trust to help them with their work. And I did that because one of my dear friends, who died much younger than she was, a man called Alan Cartley, was involved with the Scottish Flag Trust. He did all the work to see. So I always gave a little bit of money to support him and his work. And I've come here before with my family, and I'm so pleased to be here today because it's been an absolute hot day.
How would you normally be celebrating? How do you normally say it?
Normally, I would go to an event. Like, I've gone to a number of events over the last few days. So I was at a dinner on Friday night for St. Andrew's Day. Yesterday, I was at a march in Glasgow for St. Andrew's Day to really talk about those points that I said earlier on about how we, St. Andrew's Day represents a moment of inclusion in our culture. And I was marching through the streets of Glasgow and speaking about how important it is that we all stick together.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. Lovely to see you, and thank you for your questions. Fabulous questions. Thank you for your role, Mel. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Now I have Sky and Anna interviewing a Christmas quiz with Katie.
Welcome. Today we are doing the Christmas quiz. Today we're going to do a quiz on Katie from P34.
What do people hang on their doors at Christmas?
A wreath.
Correct.
What are the names of Santa's reindeer whose names begin with the letter D?
Dancer, Dasher and Donner?
Correct. How many times does Santa check his list to determine who's naughty or nice?
Twice.
Correct.
What magical item brings Frosty the Snowman to life?
I think it's his hat.
Correct. Yeah.
That's all from this Christmas quiz.
We'll see you next time. Bye!
Well done, Katie. Next, we have some Christmas facts from around P567.
Oh, and welcome to a very interesting Christmas special. We will be asking people for facts, and this is all improvised, so unscripted. Yeah. Charlie, do you have any Christmas facts?
Santa Claus used to be green, but then Coca-Cola brand turned him red for publicity on Christmas.
Oh, that's really interesting. Cool. Ilsa, you have any Christmas facts?
Yes, I do. In Japan, it's a tradition to eat fried chicken from KFC for Christmas, and Jingle Bells was the first song broadcast from space. While male reindeer shed their antlers in winter, female reindeer keep theirs, meaning Santa's reindeer
may all be female.
Wow, that's amazing. Isabel, you have any facts? Isabel has a fact, and that is Thanksgiving is the American equivalent of Christmas. Thanksgiving, it's on November, so they eat turkey and things. Do you have any fact for Christmas?
If you're bad, you get coal or rotten potato.
Nice. Well, that was a very interesting fact from Skylar. He said, if you're bad, Santa will just give you rotten potatoes. Cool.
Yes. Okay, and I think that wraps up.
We've learned a lot about Christmas here. And with that fact from Sky, I hope you're all good so you don't get rotten potato. Bye. That was very interesting.
Now on to the top five Christmas songs with Sam and Charlie.
Welcome to the top five Christmas songs. Starting off strong, we have Last Christmas by Wham. Next is The Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams. Next is Feliz Navidad by The Wiggles. All I Want for Christmas is You by Mariah Carey. And last of all, Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of our Christmas special.
Now we have Gabby and Poppy sharing their favourite Christmas jokes along with some of the rest of the school.
We have some Christmas jokes to tell you.
What did the snowman say to the carrot?
I have no idea.
Get out my face!
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Anna.
Anna who?
Anna Partridge in a pear tree.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. What's red, white and blue?
I have no clue.
Sad candy cane.
Oh, that's really good. But poor candy cane.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Snow.
Snow who?
Snow time to waste. It's almost Christmas.
Where does Santa sleep on holidays?
I don't know.
The hotel.
Why did Rudolph have to attend summer school?
I have no clue.
Because he went down in history.
What do you call an obnoxious reindeer?
I've no clue.
Rudolph!
Why are reindeer always so happy on the night of Christmas Eve?
I have no clue.
Because they're on top of the world.
What did the snowman say to the other snowman?
I don't know.
Do you smell carrots?
What do you call Santa when he's on a beach in Australia?
I have no clue.
Sandy Claus!
What happened when Santa tried stand-up comedy?
I have no clue.
He slayed.
What do you call Santa when he takes a break?
I have no clue.
Santa!
Santa's favourite dog. Santa Paws. What kind of money do elves use? Jingle bells.
What do you call a deer? I have no idea.
Why are snowmen so famous? Because they're snow-offs.
What's red, white and blue on Christmas? A sad candy cane.
Who hides in a Christmas bakery? A mince pie.
What do Santa's helpers learn in school?
The alphabet.
Why is it always cold at Christmas?
Because it's December.
Why does Santa ask questions? Because he doesn't know.
Pause. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much
for listening to our jokes. Bye.
Great jokes. Now we have Martha and Alice with some history on Christmas.
Hi, I'm Martha.
And I'm Alice.
And we are here to tell you all about the history of Christmas. Christmas traditions have deep historical roots with some like gift giving and feasting. The Christmas tree originated in 16th century Germany, evolving from pagan winter solstice traditions that celebrated evergreens as a symbol of life and the coming spring. Early trees were decorated with apples, nuts, and candles, and the tradition later spread to Britain and the rest of the world, becoming popular in the Victorian era after Queen Victoria and Prince Albert were depicted with one. The figure of Santa Claus evolved from the 4th century St. Nicholas, and the modern image of a jolly red-suited figure was heavily influenced by the Victorian era traditions and commercial promotions. The tradition of Boxing Day on December 26th originated from the Victorian era, when employers would give gifts or boxes to their servants and workers to thank them for their service, which was a day off to visit their families. Christmas crackers were invented in 1847 by confectioner Tom Smith, who was inspired by the French bonbon wrapped in tissue paper. I hope you enjoyed learning about Christmas history. Bye!
Now we have Helena sharing the story of Santa Claus.
Hello. Today I'll be talking about the story of Santa Claus. You all know, of course, that another name of Father Christmas is Santa Claus, but you do know why he is called by that name. This little story will tell you about it. It all began hundreds of years ago in a little village far from here, in a place that we call Asia Minor, not far from the land where Jesus lived. There, a little boy was born one day and given the name of Nicholas. He lost his father and mother when he was quite young and inherited a great fortune, so he was very rich. The figure of Santa Claus is based on the historical figure St. Nicholas, a 4th century Greek bishop from my modern-day Turkey. He was known for his secret gift giving and the honesty, with stories like him secretly providing dowries for a poor man's daughters being a famous example. Over centuries, the legends of St. Nicholas merged with other traditions, like the Doxic Nurses, to evolve into the modern Santa Claus, who imagined was further shaped by a famous poem, an American cartoon in the 19th century. Bye!
Next up, Anna is asking people what they would want for Christmas this year. There might be some suggestions for families out there.
We have everybody telling us what they'd love for Christmas.
Would like the Wheels Dragon Demolition Sharks vs. Dinos Monster Truck set.
Wait, officer.
A Beamblade X Cobalt Drake set.
A TV bed set.
A Beamblade X Stadium. They sound like excellent guest suggestions. Next, we have P12 telling us what they would like for Christmas.
Chicken.
Toy box.
Barbie.
Squacky flower. Skateboard. Horse.
Ride along horse.
Salvanian families.
Red Stranger Things jumper.
Duck slippers.
Jelly cats.
Fake fur jacket.
Ella Boo Boo.
Lego.
Laptop.
Armchair.
Sol de Janeiro.
Welcome Sam and Charlie again to share what do people eat for Christmas around the world.
Hello listeners, today Sam and I will be talking about global Christmas foods.
In South Africa they eat braai, which is barbecue meat, and they also eat malu pudding, which is a popular dessert.
In Indonesia, they eat ayam betutu, which is spiced chicken, and in Pakistan, they eat a variety of curries.
Next, in France, they eat cheeses, turkey, and for dessert, they have a yule log. And in the UK, we have chicken, potatoes, and Brussels sprouts.
Moving on to Australia, they eat salad, lamb, and drink Christmas punch, and sometimes they eat seafood too.
Finally, going to America, they eat green bean casserole, roast pork, cookies, and gingerbread. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
All we have time for. See you next time. Bye. Bye.